Now, it's been 30 years since at least seven young girls were allegedly kidnapped by paedophile Gert van Rooyen and his accomplice, Joey Haroff. Now, the couple committed suicide. I'm sure this rings bells if you can think about the news stories. It was all over the place, right, these stories. That couple committed suicide after another schoolgirl that they had held captive managed to escape and then led the police to them. But the whereabouts of the five girls remain a mystery, and for the past three decades, the search has been continuing. Tracy Lee Scott Crosley was 14, Fiona Harvey, 12, Joan Horn, 12, Odette Boucher, 11, and Annemarie Wappenaar, 12. Now, Don Chandler is a retired murder and robbery detective in the Natal Midlands. He's been assigned to investigate the case of Fiona Harvey, who was abducted in Pietermaritzburg, and he believes that there's evidence suggesting that Gert van Rooyen brought all his victims to Durban, and he joins you right now. Don Chandler, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Good morning, Kino.
So let's talk a little bit about the work that you have been doing, and for how long have you been looking into this?
Well, Kino, to be exact, I think it was the 22nd of December, 1988, and I was medically boarded after an accident involving one of my horses, and the police paid me off on a medical board. And ever since then, I've still kept on with this. I've had close contact with the other investigators that were on the team, Rudy van Oost, Carl Cornelius, and Nicole Joubert. And we still have contact today, and we all have a vested interest in this, as well as the team that I'm working with now, detectives from the police, retired people, some are still employed, and part of our team, a large part of it is from the public.
So tell us about the work that you have been doing and what you've managed to gather thus far.
Well, so far we're looking at various avenues in this matter. We'd like to make a request for certain information and certain assistance from the public. We really appreciate it because as far as I'm concerned, just about every case that a detective works on is based on information from the public and evidence obtained as a result of that information, and that's why we're appealing to the public again. I have the approval of all the parents to continue with this. I had been given the approval by the Harveys from Pietermaritzburg to continue, but as they live a private life, you know, most of the parents don't want to be involved in the media, and I respect their wishes. So we've been continuing on this thing, and we picked up an avenue where we have discovered that van Rooyen and Haroff were in the Durban area within a day or a few days after the abduction of all of the girls. There's proof from letters that were posted and various other photographs that were picked up from that area. We're a little bit stumped at this moment because we work on our own funding. We put money together as a group, and that pays for the diesel and the cell phones and the various other equipment we use to get to people, to re-interview people, and also to interview new people that are coming forward as a result of media and also interest in the case that hasn't been followed up as yet.
Now, just having a look, I mean, how can people assist? How do they contact you? There are a lot of people, I think, who still, you know, asking the question, what's happened to these girls? In all likelihood, one would imagine that they were all killed. I mean, is that your belief?
Look, like I said, we're working in different avenues. Mm. We have been looking for a possible, how shall I say, a grave site or a dumping site, in plain terms. I hope I don't offend anyone.
Sure.
And that is one of the avenues, as well as a paedophile network. And then the trafficking came to a fore quite early in this matter. We had appeals out in the newspapers for a certain church group to come forward of pastors and people that were involved or befriended with van Rooyen at that time and with Haroff. We had a limited success with that. But over the years, we've picked up various corresponding facts. These are facts and not, how shall I say, speculation. Yeah. But we're still not 100% clear on which avenue was used. I mean, the possibility that he could have disposed of his victims afterwards is still a strong possibility, so I don't want everyone just to concentrate on the trafficking side, which we are concentrating on at the moment.
Now, how do people help you? Because you did say you guys are funding all of this. There is still, I believe, a lot of public interest in this case. That's so if anybody feels that they want to contribute, how do they go about doing that?
Well, we have got a email address, which is gvrplus@protonmail.com. The people, if they're willing to send in information or to make a donation to an account which is specifically a part for this, because this group of people and investigators that work with me supply funding for this. So if the public, if there is someone out there that can help us, we'd appreciate it. It's in a Tala bank account. It's used solely for this. Everything on this case that's used for this matter, the diesel, et cetera, is all listed. It is all... you know, people can check it if they want to, if they want to have access to the account. It's solely for this matter. And we'd also like to appeal to your viewers. If someone out there can help us out, you know, if you guys get, it's a new world now. In our time, the most modern technology we had was actually a pager. If people go back to 88, 89, 1990. If someone's got a replacement phone that they can help us with, you know, normally people put them in a box and they shelve them in the cupboard or whatever. You know, we can make use of that. And also external hard drives. If someone's got one and they've got a renewed one and they're not using it, please contact us and we'll arrange to have it couriered to us, or we'll give you a drop-off point for it.
Okay, perfect. What we'll do is we'll connect people to you, Don. Just a quick one. It's been 30 years. Do you have any human beings that are, you know, still potentially can still deliver evidence?
Yes, there definitely are. We've been involved in tracking and tracing people, some of them as old as 95, that have given reasonable, how shall I say, not evidence, but factual interviews to us about what happened, and they were never contacted during that time. Time seems to do this to some people, and later on you can look at other people as possible suspects in this matter that were linked with him. We are very interested at this moment to talk to a few people. Can I mention it on your show, Kino?
Yes, of course.
All right. These people, I must stipulate at this stage, they are not suspects. So they were involved in the investigation at some stage. Some of them have not been questioned correctly in this matter, but they are definitely not suspects at this stage. All right. And the one man that I've been looking for some time, he should be about 71 years old, 72 years old, is a man called Rudolf Turin. He's a South African citizen. Mm. The last address I have for him is about 10 years ago in the Pretoria area.
Right.
He was born in Pretoria. And I haven't been able to trace him since. He was also involved in the banking sector in Italy and also in Zurich in Switzerland. He's married to a lady by the name of Maria Magdalena Wilhelmina Getreide Fronemann was her maiden name. And he also had an address at number 9 Karlstrasse in Zurich, which is right behind the international banking sector in Zurich in Switzerland. And there are other people that we are interested in getting information from. I'll give you a little background of them, if you don't mind, Kino.
Yeah, sure. We literally have about a minute and a half. So if you can run through those rather quickly, then absolutely.
All right. I'm looking for people that were employed by Michael Forwarding in the Durban area, not in the other four offices. This group is now defunct, and they have joined with the super group in South Africa. I'm also wanting to speak to... I'll tell you now, it's a Loki. The man's name is Loki van Wyk. We also, as I say, we're interested in Mr. Vito Palazzolo, and he changed his name in South Africa to Robert von Pallas Kolbachenko. I believe he has family in the Cape, in Franschhoek area. He can perhaps help us with that. There are investigations which are too sensitive to put up here, because we don't want to... ensue legal costs or anything like that in this matter.
Sure.
All right, because we do have an attorney and advocate that assist us pro dia on this matter, but I'm not going to make their names public.
Okay. Well, Don, if anybody has any information, we'll connect them directly to you. And good on you and the team for trying to get to the bottom of this, man. Just imagine being those families, still not having any answers. Don Chandler there, retired SAPS detective and member of GVR Plus. They are a group of retired detectives that are still looking into this and other cases.